This week on the No More Late Fees podcast, we are joined by singer and actress Carrie Francis. You probably know her from the movie Knives Out and Peacock TV series Poker Face.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here. And more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
We're super excited. It's been a long time coming.
Yes. Yeah, I know. I think we've been going back and forth trying to schedule for months. So this is very exciting.
Well, I know that you are a big theater lover, and you obviously are an amazing singer, but why don't you tell everybody a little bit about your career, how it started? How did you get into Knives Out?
So yeah, like you said, I'm a big theater person. I started in musical theater, and I went on a Broadway tour right after school, and I was on that tour for about 2 years. And during that tour, I went to the movies one night, and I ran into writer-director Ryan Johnson. And we just hit it off in the middle of the country, just randomly one day when we both happened to be there. So very kismet, meant to be. And, you know, we just fell into like deep, blissful friendship. So he obviously makes movies, and my work continued. I was doing plays in New York and commercials and voiceovers and auditioning and living the actor's life. And, you know, I would go in for things. I was in like final rounds of callbacks for the Star Wars movie he did. And we got to Knives Out, and he said, "This is nuts. I'm writing you a part. Like, this is, we have to just get to work together. I want you there. I want you in this movie, and I want to do this together," which is really, of course, like a dream come true to hear anyone say that, but to have it be your best friend, it's really a really special experience. And I did push back a little. There was a little bit of like, "Don't want you to just do this because we're friends. You know, I need it to be about work." And he said, "Let me tell you the budget, and let me explain to you why there is no way that I would just like throw a friend in my movie. This is about your talent. This is about what you're capable of. And I don't want there to be another movie where there's nothing right for you." And so that's what he did. And it was really a season of me building up my confidence too, to recognize what he said was absolutely true. This is not like, I know there's a lot of people who I'm sure would say, "Oh, Noah Segan or Joe Gordon-Levitt," or now with me, you know, being his go-to actors, like, "Oh, it's just because you're friends." That is not the case at all. And there was a long time where we were not working together. So it's just been really exciting to have, like, getting to live my dreams and do these things I've wanted to do forever with people I love and care about so much. It's like something beyond my wildest dreams. I didn't even know I had that dream until I was living it. So it's so special. I'm really, really happy. So yeah, I did Knives Out. Obviously that was life-changing, an incredible experience with that cast to just kind of be thrown in. Oh my gosh. Really, I mean, really imagine you're suddenly sitting in the basement of a gigantic mansion in New England playing games with all of them. Like, we would just sit in a circle and hang out and play together. And
I like have goosebumps because that cast is so like top notch, and yes, like some of my favorite actors and actresses ever.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Jamie Lee Curtis,
Chris Evans
yeah is a big one for me. So I'm like, oh, gives me goosebumps.
Right, and exactly. And literally imagine if just next week you're hanging out and he's explaining to you how to play like a charades game. Like that's my life, right? So that's like the experience of my life. And of course, Jamie Lee and Daniel Craig and Toni Collette and really all of them, they probably did not have to invite me into the fold the way they did. And that was just so special to me. And Frank Oz, obviously I've learned a ton from Frank and stayed in touch with him. And he's become, you know, someone I can email or meet up with in New York to get coffee and talk about making art and being a human. And that's really, sometimes my mind can't process, like, this is Miss Piggy. This is like Yoda. Yes. This is the most iconic like voice actor of our time, an iconic director, just like literally sitting with me at a cafe. So that's really incredible. And yeah, and then that's turned into continuing to work together. So then we did Poker Face, And that was another life-changing experience for a ton of reasons.
Natasha, I would die.
Oh, yes.
Are you a big fan of Natasha?
Oh my gosh. She and this time era that we're like kind of living in with the podcast, this is her era, you know, like, yeah, 100%.
She pops up in things. I will like put on a random movie. I like to try and just watch things I haven't seen. So I'll just pick something. There she is, right? Or like it's just like she's, you know, and she looks so different and her voice is a little bit different. And so there are times where I'm like, is that Natasha? Like she is she in this movie? And then I, you know, Google it. And obviously, of course, for me, Benjamin Bratt, because Miss Congeniality is one of my all-time favorite movies. And like again, my brain had this moment of like, oh my gosh, like this is this guy who is my comfort movie, who is like talking to me about takes, you know, or Adrian Brody, like really just mind blowing. But also behind the scenes, not only Natasha, but having so many women behind the scenes on the show, right? The sister showrunners, Lila and Nora Zuckerman, really took me under their wing. They started to teach me about writing, producing, running shows. One of the executive producers, Nana Rodrigue, who is an angel, she took me under her wing and started explaining things to me and teaching me. These women just sort of like circled me and championed me and saw something in me that I really could not see. I feel that, you know, I've said this to him a million times, but Ryan has seen this in me since day one. And it's just taken me many years to catch up, to be able to see myself the way everyone else sees me. And whatever they recognized, it was like getting an incredible master class. And then also with Natasha kind of running the show and the other women on the show, it really changed my whole life. And I went home from Poker Face, and unfortunately, my dog passed. My dog was the light of my life, my best friend. And because of these two things back to back, there was a major catalyst in my life where everything started to change. And I wrote a short that was based in losing my dog. And that short has changed my life. I have a whole literary team now, and I get to write and produce, and I'm in pitch meetings constantly and developing. And so, whatever trajectory we're on as people, it was like I met those women. They started to teach me, right? I mean, not even to mention Ryan, right? Like, that's kismet to begin with. He starts to teach me. These women started to teach me. And then Henry dies. I write this short, and all of the things I'd learned and all of the people I had now in my corner, it was like the most perfect intersection of where I was meant to go next. So that was about, it was almost 2 years ago that we filmed Poker Face. And when I tell you my entire life is different, my entire life is different. Every single aspect of my life, really, except like my closest people, but otherwise everything is different. So it's just really exciting. I feel really lucky and special and happy to get to do all of this stuff.
Well, it's exciting to hear your journey, to hear, I think so many of us look at challenges in life and get stuck, but the fact that you were able to look at it as a catalyst of good kind of change. Yes, that it was obviously heart-wrenching and sad. Like to lose a pet, if you don't have a pet and have that loss, it's very, very difficult. But
It really is, yeah.
to be able to take that overflowing of love and turn it into, art is amazing. But to be able to kind of map all pinpoint all of those things and put them together, that's something I think a lot of people wish that they could do or see, instead of getting stuck in the sadness of it all. So that's beautiful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to be clear, I have had plenty of seasons where I'm stuck. I think that's so important because people listen to interviews and they only ever hear this amazing story and how my life has changed and everything's incredible and it's an avalanche of success. And that is totally true. But if you met me even 2 years ago, you would have met a completely different person. If you met me 6 months ago, you would have met a completely different person. I think that we just continue to say yes to life and evolve and, you know, really use these huge, big, exciting life things as trampolines to bounce, you know, to the next one. And sometimes those jumps can be terrifying and long. And you're like, oh, am I going to land on the next trampoline? Is there even another trampoline? Will I make it? You know, and I think it's about for me having the right tools in my toolbox, the right therapist, the right people in my life, and being able to remember that there's bigger reasons than me just loving being an actress. Right. I want to be able to cultivate sets for other women to be on and feel safe and comfortable to share their art, share their stories, speak up. Do you have an idea? Right. One of the most iconic things in Knives that I did was sleeping in the background of a scene. I hear about that constantly. And that was me. I pitched that to Ryan and I explained why I would be in that scene and like what she would be doing. And he said, yeah, let's do it. Right. And so I think it's so important that women they can look around sets and say, oh, this is being led by women, or this is, you know, and people of color and any marginalized groups. It's really important to me that this becomes more of an even playing field so that everyone can come make art and share their gifts and give what they can give to the world. It affects people. It really, really, TV and movies and theater, of course, and music affect us in ways I think we don't always give the most recognition to. It's easy to be like, oh yeah, I'm just streaming this. Okay, well, what if it changes your life? So
yeah,
very true.
Yeah, so I think it's so important to say there's definitely stuck times and it took a very long time to get here. I wanted to move to LA when I was 11. So it's been an extremely long journey, but it's exactly completely timed correctly.
That's amazing. I think you're right. The journey is not just about the great high moments, but those stuck moments. But I think it makes the high moments better because you saw how down you were, but you were able to kind of pull yourself up. Just knowing that you could pull yourself up when things get rough is, I think, half the journey of it all. Do you have anything coming up?
Yeah, so the short is just finished. And so that'll be going out into festivals, maybe potentially developing something larger from it. And then I have projects right now in development, different production companies and places. I really have a big desire to bring rom-coms back. Like, that is so important to me because I think rom-coms have such a bad rap, but they are the movies that stick with us and become comfort movies. And I haven't loved too many in the past 10 years. And then also musicals are something that I'm pitching. So either, you know, redoing musicals or original musicals. I write and record and sing, obviously, music. And so that is something that is also really important to me. So those are the things that I'm primarily pitching. And then out of nowhere, I'll have something that's really, like, my short is incredibly deep. It's a bit of a thriller. It's like a psychological element. And that always throws people off because I'm like the size of a fifth grader. And I, you know, I have like dimples and gigantic eyes and I come off like a little like peppy bunny. And then I'll give someone a script and they're like, oh, okay. Oh, well, that's dark, you know? So that's one of my favorite things about the job. We get to explore all of those layers and levels within us instead of just being one version. All humans are 8 million things. So yeah, so that I have a rom-com coming out. I'm not entirely sure when. And then hopefully we'll do Poker Face season 2 and other T Street projects.
We're looking forward to it.
Yes.
Well, I hope you're in for more laughs and games. We are going to do, for the first time, a movie draft. Yes. So we are going to, each of us are going to be tasked with picking 3 movies to go head to head. And we're going to share these on social media so that our fans can vote on it. The rules pretty much are that each movie needs to include at least one cast member from the movie Drop Dead Gorgeous that we just watched, we just did. And the movie has to be from our time period, which is 1995 to 2005. Now, let's take some time and think. I think Carrie has some already. This is the first time for Jackie, probably. And I have mine. Oh, you do? Okay, perfect. Then let's get into it then.
And if we name the same one, we just pull a backup. Is that right?
Correctamundo.
Okay.
And we'll let you go first, Carrie.
Okay, amazing. I'm going to steal one that we probably all have on our list, which is Kirsten Dunst in Bring It On in 2000.
Yes.
I had to go with that. That is such a classic. And as someone who grew up as a cheerleader, I remember thinking, this could not get any better. Like, movies and cheering intersecting. And fun fact, Bring It On, the musical, Lin-Manuel's musical, that was my first Broadway callback, which is like a really special experience. Yeah.
All right, Jackie, what do you got?
I am going It Takes Two with Kirstie Alley.
Oh, classic.
I'm not surprised. Not surprised at all.
That's iconic. That's honestly one of my favorite childhood movies.
Oh boy, this is rough for me.
Do you have a Sophie's Choice happening over there?
Yes. Okay. I'm going to put Wild Things. Yeah. Good old Denise Richards.
Yeah, right. Choice.
Back to you, Carrie.
Okay, I'm going to go Alice and Janney. And I really had a hard time choosing a movie for her because I like so many. But I'm going to go with what would be the phrase when it's like, not like a front runner, but like an unexpected in a Marsh Madness bracket.
Like a
do you know
deep
the phrase
dive?
I'm looking
Oh,
for?
Oh, yeah. It's a wild card.
Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah, exactly. A wild card. How to Deal, 2003.
Oh,
she played
Mandy
Mandy
Moore.
Moore's mother. And that is based on Sarah Dessen's first two books. And I lived and breathed Sarah Dessen books growing up. So I had to throw in a Sarah Dessen. Is it the best movie? No, it is not. But I'm putting it in the bracket.
Now I have hard choices to make.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going Wedding Date with Amy Adams.
Knew Ooh. That was going to be on there. No-brainer, Clueless with Brittany Murphy.
Can I do two Alice and Janney, or should I pick a different actress?
Whatever you want. It's
However
your
you
bracket.
Do it.
Then we got to go Juno. Can we go Juno? Is that in the...
That Juno came out in 2006, but you know what? It's not a big deal.
Okay, well, here's how I'm going to justify it. They were probably filming in 2005. You know what I mean? So...
Absolutely.
Vote as you will, listeners.
We'll give it to you.
Thank you.
My third one is going to be Girl Interrupted with Brittany Murphy.
Ooh. That is a good one. Well... I'm going to go with Alice and Janney as well, and my birthday movie, which is 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, classic.
She's only in there for a little bit, but she left her mark.
She did.
Yes, she does. That's
No, that was a really good one. Love that movie.
Yeah, it's
well,
really good.
I know that we just finished a pageant movie, so I have to ask the question, if we were in a beauty pageant, what would our talent be? I kind of feel like Carrie is stacked more than the rest of us, but that's okay.
Well, let's hear your answers first. Mine's going to be probably boring. So.
Jackie?
If it's high school Jackie, then it is signing a song, much like the girl did in the movie. I was in the sign language club, and we performed at like old folks' homes and bookstores and stuff.
So let's see. That's really impressive. And then hopefully nothing falls on your head.
Yeah, we already know I've got my tap shoes out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh. I
just,
love that.
Just need my inhaler because it's been a while. But
Danielle does this thing where, like, if she's bored or waiting for something, she does a little tap dance. Like, we'll be at Disney waiting in line for a ride, and she's just tapping away in her own little world. I'm like...
Can't,
she's in her happy place.
Can't suppress the joy.
Nope.
Love a good tappity tap. Oh, there's nothing I love more than a shoe that has like a tap feel to it. Can't stop me. Can't do it.
Oh. Do you know what song you would dance to?
Gosh, I don't know. That's really hard because here's the thing. I am kind of like particular about tapping to certain songs. Because a lot of people will try to tap to a very popular song or like a, you know, I hate when the music overpowers the tap. So I'm probably a purist where something more classical or more jazzy, so it's not distracting. But I will say this, one of my first solos was a tap routine to the theme song of the TV show Dallas. I had a cowboy hat and fringe. Jackie, I have a picture.
Ooh.
Oh my gosh.
I love that.
Yeah.
Maybe you can update it to Texas Hold'em and then bring your obsession full
Actually,
circle.
That would be a perfect song. I can hear it already. I'm choreographing this number in my head.
Yes.
That would be honestly a great top number.
It is. Or Shania Twain, Any Man of Mine.
Yes.
That would be very, very good and unexpected.
Yes.
Oh, I can hear the taps. Oh, Lord. Let me not get distracted. Sorry.
I would obviously sing. That would be my pretty clear. Maybe I would do like an aria, a little classic opera aria, or we'd like flip it on its head, you know, and do something really fun and contemporary. But if I couldn't sing, like if I had to pick something really random and wild, I think it would be so fun to do like dog tricks. Like have a, you know, untrained dog.
If we were in Drop Dead Gorgeous, then we would definitely, you'd have to do the dog tricks for sure.
Yes. Yeah. Someone just comes out with like a cat on a leash. I feel like that would fit in that.
But if you were singing, we would have to be plotting your demise because there's no way.
Yeah. We're not winning with
you were not winning.
Sign language.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you never know. You never know. I'll go with the dog tricks to preserve my life.
Oh, man. We invite you on the show. We start threatening your life. We're sorry.
So since you're our honorary Blockbuster employee for the week, you get to recommend three movies from 95 to 2005 that you would suggest people watch.
Absolutely. So like I said, I love rom-coms and I love comfort movies, and that's kind of in this niche. So my all-time favorite movie is 1995's Spectacular Cinematic Experience, While You Were Sleeping. I love this movie. Do you guys, have you seen it?
Have we? Well, yes. Have I? I don't know if Jackie likes that one yet.
I've seen it a couple of times, like back in the 90s. I haven't. And since we started this podcast, I try not to rewatch movies until we're ready to do them. So it's like real fresh, but I'm excited to get to it because Danielle talks about it nonstop.
I do very much love them.
Danielle, I fear we may have a lot of the same taste. It's like a litmus test. If people are obsessed with that movie, I find we like everything the same. I mean, that is like the most classic rom-com. That's what I put on when I need a big hug in the form of film. I don't know how many times I've seen it. And I didn't see it in the 90s, and I didn't even see it in the early 2000s. It's a new obsession. It's really probably been just like the last maybe 8 to 10 years that I'm just completely in love with this movie. And I just love like a young Sandra Bullock. And one of my goals is to play her sister at some point. So anytime I watch that, I think, okay, we're getting there. We're getting there. So that's my first pick. And then keeping in the theme, 1998's You've Got Mail. I just always go to You've Got Mail, which is such another classic rom-com, and, you know, get your like hit of Nora Ephron and just New York in fall and those amazing apartments and the set decoration, the costumes. There's just something really magical about that movie. That's like one of the only movies I have that I own on like my Apple account, so I can watch it anytime, anywhere. I often say I have a need for an emergency viewing of You've Got Mail. And on the phone, just sit down and watch it. And then my third one, I really was like, I went deep, you guys. I had so many options. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to pick it. So I just have to go with my gut. And I'm going to go with another 1998, The Parent Trap, which I love.
Oh, you're right. Oh. We do. We are on the same wave. Great choices. God. Love your
Thank
choices.
You. Yes.
And before we head out, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media?
Absolutely. So I am on Instagram and TikTok as Carrie Francis Official. That's Carrie with a K and a Y and Francis with an E, but I'm sure it'll be in the show notes. So just click. That'll be easier. Yeah, those are the places I am the most. And you can keep up with announcements and podcasts and press and new songs and all of the fun things there.
And as always, you can check us out at No More Late Fees on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Threads. And please stay tuned for our episode next week as we cover 1999's Go. And if you missed it, don't forget to go back and check out our Drop Dead Gorgeous episode with Carrie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. We loved having you. Thank you for staying a little bit later to hang with us.
Of course, of course.
And as always, be kind and rewind.